hello, everyone. I'm Jill Bloom, publisher of Roofing Contractor, Walls and Ceilings, and Building Enclosure. And thank you so much for joining us, whether you're listening or watching. Today, I'm honored to be here with Trent Cotney, the CEO of Cotney Attorneys and Consultants. Trent, thank you so much for joining me.
Jill, it's always a pleasure to be here.
You know, every week, it just never seems to fail. There's so much to talk about, and we definitely have a lot to unpack today. So everyone, you might want to grab a pen and paper because there's going to be a lot to write down. But Trent, let's just dive in. I mean, earlier this week, the president's vaccine mandate for all federal workers and employees with more than 100 employees is said to be enforced by OSHA. I mean, first of all, I mean, does OSHA even have the authority to do this?
Yeah, so this was crazy. I'll just be honest with you. From a legal standpoint, when I saw this, I was like, oh. And, you know, we got out there and we started talking about it, you know, within the hour that it came out. But nuts, right? It was just, it's just one of those things where you read it and you read over it. You're like, wow. So as background, Biden's mandate, it covers a lot of different things, right? It says that if you've got more than 100 employees, then you either have to have them vaccinated or you have to engage in regular testing. And they didn't get into a lot of minutia about who covers what costs. They did say that the company has to cover the cost for testing, but that it can assess it on the employees. So all kinds of issues that came up there, right? And then, and if you read down even further, they said, look, you know, same applies to the healthcare workers. They've got to be vaccinated, so on and so forth. So what's interesting about this, Jill, is earlier this year, you and I were talking about the emergency temporary standard for COVID-19, and OSHA decided not to move forward with it as it relates to construction. They came out with one for healthcare, but the reason they didn't move forward with it is because they were scared. They were scared of legal challenges, and they didn't want it to be, they didn't want to spend a lot of time and resources in court fighting over something which at the time they believed the vaccines and other mitigating methods had under control, right? Mm-hmm. So what's interesting now is you've got a lot of questions about whether or not OSHA has the capability to enforce something like this. You know, there are going to be constitutional challenges. There have already been, you know, suggestions by unions and others that this is unconstitutional in that OSHA will exceed its authority, exceed its capability, right? So if I'm looking at this, if I was representing a roofing contractor or, you know, a building enclosure contractor and somebody came to me with an OSHA citation, you know, one of the things I would say is there are alternative methods to prevent the spread of COVID-19, right? What are those alternative methods? What the CDC even suggests what alternative methods are available, okay? The CDC, as I said, vaccines are the only alternative. Now, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to you know, move vaccines forward, get more people vaccinated. But there's a lot of issues in that he is doing this at the employer's burden, right? This is an employer task that he is requiring. And then the other question, Jill, not to, you know, to keep on this talk, but it's a big issue.
There's a lot to unfold there.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, so if you've got over 100 employees, right, it's science and you've got to get vaccinated. But what happens if you have 99? You know, what that raises a question is what about all these other employers that have under that? You know, why are you picking on just the largest? So there's a lot of legal issues there. It will absolutely 100% without a doubt be legally challenged. And it's going to take OSHA a very long time to go through this emergency temporary standard process.
So. Well, I guess that's good to hear. So it's going to be a long time. It's not like anybody has to worry about this today.
Well, you know, I think it will take time for it to get to the point where OSHA is actually trying to enforce something. Okay, that is going to be very difficult if and when that happens. Okay, I do think that if this is the route that Biden is going to go, that there are a lot of tools in his toolbox that he can use to potentially enforce some of this stuff, okay, mm-hmm. Especially as it relates to federal work, okay? He already said that with regard to, you know, contractors working on federal jobs, there is no testing alternative. You got to be vaccinated. Okay, that was one of the mandates. So some of these things he can move forward rather quickly through executive order and other action, okay? The enforcement through OSHA, that is the component which I think is going to take a little bit of time. I, I just don't see that rolling out quickly because of the legal challenges and the potential other threats that are out there.
And it doesn't sound like there's any limit to these executive orders that the president can put through.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing over the years, at least over the last, 15, 20 years, how much power has been placed within the executive branch through these executive order making process, right? The whole design of our system is supposed to be checks and balances, but in a lot of ways, we have given a lot of unfettered power to do things that affect our daily lives through executive orders. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. We've already seen a lot of the reaction. In fact, there were protests today in New York over this. So as it continues to unfold, obviously, we'll keep you up to date.
Yes, I know that we will have a lot more to talk about this for sure. Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears for a little bit here. For clearly, it's another week of significant tropical storms, and it looks like it's the Gulf this time. So what are you hearing in regards to Hurricane Nicholas?
Right. So it was unusual in that the forecast originally said that the winds were going to be a little bit less. They did increase up to about a Hurricane 1 when they hit, and as soon as it hit thereafter, it kind of went to tropical storm force. So there has been some damage, there has been some flooding, there has been some other things that have happened. Overall, nowhere near as destructive as the one that we had hit the Louisiana area just a few weeks ago. But again, this is hurricanes are a mixed blessing for roofing contractors in that there's plenty of work to do, but there's not the materials to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how the storm contractors and other roofing contractors that are tasked to do this work, what kind of material they have available, especially after Hurricane Ida. A lot of that drywall, a lot of that, sheathing, a lot of the shingles and fasteners and other things that were needed have already been allocated for those types of projects. Now you got another storm hitting, and we still got another month or so of this, right? So, it's going to be a difficult few months, at least for the Gulf region. So.
Sure. Yeah, I know. Devastating to see that come through again. Well, let's keep moving on here. But one thing that is exciting I saw coming up here is NRCA is having a round table town hall. And it sounds awesome. Can you tell everybody more about it and how they can listen in?
Absolutely. So as everybody knows, the materials issue has been a major crisis. I would say next to asbestos, it's probably the biggest crisis that our industry's ever faced. So NRCA through, Reed Ribble's leadership, and McKay Daniels, they said, why don't we put together a roundtable where manufacturers could be present, do it in a town hall format. Their town halls have been incredibly successful in the past. Mm-hmm. And they've invited, a lot of the manufacturers to attend. Their GAF is going to be represented there, OMG, Sika, JM, Carlisle. I will be there as well to give some tips on how contractors can kind of prepare for additional changes and maybe add some contract language to help prevent price increases, that kind of stuff. But I think it's just a good opportunity for everyone to hear what is going on. Get on the same page and ask questions. This is a roundtable type discussion. So I encourage everybody to get involved at 7 p.m. Eastern time next week, September 22nd, 4 p.m. Pacific. So stay tuned and make sure that you check your emails from NRCA on how to get involved in the town hall.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. And NRCA does do an incredible job of those town halls. It's an impressive platform that they use.
Absolutely.
So another question for you, Trent. You mentioned last time we talked that there was dozens of containers in supply ships just awaiting entry to the port in California. Is there any news or any update? I mean, can we get the National Guard to go unload those ships?
Yeah, I mean, they've been working nonstop to try to get those ships unloaded, and they made some progress, right? The problem is that these shipments continue to get delayed. It just creates sort of a cascade effect. And I mentioned last time when we were talking about it, it is the backup is caused by a variety of different reasons, everything from lack of containers, lack of ships, increased demand, not enough longshoremen or stevedores to do the work that needs to be done in order to get the stuff off of there. And a bigger problem is there's not enough truckers to truck the stuff out of the ports to get it to where they got to go. So it's going to continue to be an issue. They have made some progress on it, which is good. You know, I think that it's just going to take a while for us to kind of work through the kinks on this, redevelop our supply chains, figure out how to be more efficient, faster, better, stronger. But yeah, it will be a few months before we start seeing somewhat of a normal shipping routine again. And I can tell you, we need more. You know, as long as the demand remains where it is, we need more truckers, we need more ships, we need more containers, we need more everything. You know, if for some reason inflation continues and interest rates rise and demand decreases, then to a certain extent, that problem will solve itself. But as it stands right now with demand high and everybody wanting everything at the same time, you're going to continue to see these problems.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed that that gets fixed sooner than later. So we also talked about, you know, the power of peer groups in the roofing industry, which is not new. And there's a lot of people out there that are involved in peer groups, and they seem to be really successful. But if you, Trent, put on your consultant hat for a minute, and we've got Best of Success coming up next week as well. But what do you see the benefit of peer groups, and are they working, and how can contractors get involved?
Yeah, you know, peer groups are a great way for contractors to share ideas. You know, one of the things that I found in business is even if you went to school for business, which I didn't, but even if you did, there's really not a playbook, right? You learn by mistake. And a lot of times you're scratching your head trying to figure out answers. It's great to have somebody that may have, you know, conquered that territory before that can say, hey, this is what I did. This is what you should do, right? It helps to have a sounding board. It helps to be able to kind of compare notes and figure out, you know, how do you tackle that next problem without having, you know, to go to the internet and try to figure it out yourself. You know, having that safety net is a good thing. So with peer groups, you know, it's great to have people that aren't necessarily competitors to you, that are not in your geographic area, where you can communicate with them freely. You can talk to them. You can create a great relationship and a reliance on them. You know, if you've got things like a hurricane or fire or other things, and you need access to additional crew or storage area, or even now, if you want to barter for materials, that kind of stuff, it's great just to have that network. And, you know, you did mention it, Best of Success is probably one of the best places to start meeting those people. You know, I have had just tremendous conversations, you know, after the seminars are done, at lunches, at breakfast, you know, at night, with people that are all interested in the same thing. They're there because they want their business to succeed. And they want to figure out, you know, how do you do it? What's the newest, best way to do it? So I encourage anybody that's looking into the peer group idea, you know, do it organically, go to Best of Success and, you know, sit at a few tables, meet some new people. That's the best way to figure out, you know, who do you align with personality wise and start forming those connections.
Yes, we are so excited for that next week. I can't believe it's already here. It's going to be awesome. Trent, thank you. As everybody should know, Trent is one of our featured speakers. So a lot of great insight there. Well, I guess to wrap it up, Trent, is there anything else on your mind this week that, I mean, I'm sure we've been all consumed with Biden's mandates, but anything else in your mind that we should talk about?
You know, I think, you know, the biggest things have been what to do with employees and the vaccinations and this materials issue. And I think that's going to dominate the headlines for the next few weeks. You know, I don't want contractors to lose sight of making sure that they are focused on operations. You know, sales are always important, and sales are like a Ferrari, right? It's a beautiful thing. You love it. You want to get in. You want to drive it. You want to be seen in it. You want to have those sales numbers, and it's important, right? But looking out, you know, I really recommend sometimes you just need a Corolla, right? You need to make sure that it's going to work. It's going to get you to where it's got to go. And I want to encourage contractors out there to really pay attention on that bottom line. You know, really work on your standard operating procedures. Focus on the basics. Focus on efficiencies. You know, don't take whatever work you get off the street. You know, that will kill you in a heartbeat. You know, it's those low margins, negative profit kind of stuff. You take enough of those, it'll kill you. So focus on the fundamentals. Don't get caught up in hype, especially if the jobs become a little bit harder to come about, which is kind of what I'm seeing now. So,
yeah, well, with that, Trent, I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you so much for your time. And anyone has any questions on Best of Success, make sure you go to bestofsuccessconference.com, register, come see us next week. Email me at bloomj@bnpmedia.com. And if you're watching, I'll give you a code that will, you can use the early bird rate. And if anybody has questions for Trent, it's cotneycl.com. And please make sure you stop by our websites, roofingcontractor.com, wconline.com, buildingenclosureonline.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for our website, our e-news, check out our new platform for our e-magazines, which are absolutely incredible. The technology and just the interactivity is incredible. But please, most importantly, stay safe and healthy, and we look forward to talking to you next time.